Yeah, it was weirdly very, very, very weird. The FBI wanted us to know that Thomas Crooks is just one of this very strange assassin for Trump, just didn't have any social media. So strange. But he's a registered Republican, so he must be a right winger. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Mm-hmm. Well, they got a problem. The problem cropped up about a week ago. They were keeping the he's a right winger FBI going. One of their big lies around this, but not the only one that the FBI was telling in order to protect the Democrats, because heck, this is an election season, and they've kind of been spouting homicidal, you know, maniac style talking points, which I played yesterday. Eliminate Trump. You know, he's going to have assassination teams on the streets. Yeah. We'll have to move.
Well,
he's
going to kill. He should be targeted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to kill his opposition. He's going to assassinate Supreme Court justices. I mean, if your brain, if you're not mentally well and you're a Democrat and you listen to this all day, it could make you do some crazy things. So the FBI had to step in, fix this mess, as they always do for the Democrats. So they said, yeah, he didn't have any social media. Let's move along. Well, they got a problem because Andrew Torba, who's the CEO of Gab, said, oh, yes, he did have a social media account. Do you want it? Because I got it. I preserved all of it for you. He was a left-wing liberal troll who defended Biden and Harris, loved the idea of an open border, was big into COVID lockdowns. He was a left-winger, a troll on Gab. Gab is a very conservative site, but he was a left-winger. So Torba comes out and announces, hey, it's the weirdest thing. Nobody has contacted me about this account. Do y'all want it? Would you like to see it? Well, that's a problem for the FBI.
You'd think it was a Hunter laptop.
You would think.
Gosh.
You would think, which meant would have meant they already got everything on it and are pretending not to have it like they did with the Hunter laptop for a year. Yeah. Right. So Torba says this last week. He says, look, I've preserved it all for you. Somebody come get it. So the FBI actually sends him a letter asking for the contents after he forces them to publicly. So what are you going to do? Got it. We need a new cover up here, Lee. What are we going to do? We need a new, bigger, better set of lies. Yeah. So they sent FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate to tell that new, bigger, better set of lies. Because now they know they need a cover up, right? So what do? They go and admit, one, he did have a social media account. Suddenly they can find it. Suddenly can find it. And they tell us all about one that he had when he was 14. This is from Paul Abadi's opening statement. He's the currently one of the FBI deputy directors.
Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with the shooter. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence, and are described as extreme in nature.
Okay, so put in the name, just for kicks, to see how this went, Paul Abate, or even FBI Deputy Director. You just put that in Google right now. And you know what comes up? A whole page of links repeating that lie. CNN, Salon, Yahoo, CBS News, YouTube, Israel National News. Hmm. On and on and on. A right winger, anti-immigrant. That's who he was.
Almost sounds like an algorithm pushing a narrative, doesn't it?
Right. And now the FBI is feeding that algorithm. This is why he said that, right? So that was a social media account. We still don't know where that he had when he was 14 or 15. So suddenly they can find the social media accounts, Lee. It's a miracle because they've got to cover up what Torba said on Gab, which is, no, he was a left winger. He was a Biden supporter. Well, of course he was. He's a Democrat donor. So Senator Marsha Blackburn wasn't having it and confronts him. This FBI deputy director says, well, now, come on. You know there's a Gab account, too. And let's talk about what's on it.
And then we understand that the Gab account is pro-immigration, pro-lockdown, leftist views. Is that accurate?
I haven't seen it directly, but I believe from what I've been told, that is accurate. Uh-huh. With the Gab account, we're also, though that's been publicly revealed through the CIO and other things, we're still working to certify and verify that that's his account also. But it does have differing points of view, it would appear.
So he frames it in the opening statement, knowing the media will not carry the Gab part, right? That he is a left winger. Yeah. That's why he did it. But here's the really pernicious part. He used an account that the kid had when he was a kid. He was 14, 15, right? That had anti-Semitic views, which are not right-wing right now. We know that's a left-wing view in this country. That's the view of the Democrat base, but also anti-immigrant groups, you know, anti-immigrant views, stuff like that. Okay, so the more recent account from 2021, FBI doesn't mention. So Marsha Blackburn comes up behind us and says, come on, you know this is the more recent account.
Okay, and what age and how fresh is that Gab account?
The Gab account, based on my recollection, the comments in there or the messaging is from about 2021, I believe.
Okay. And the other preceded that? Maybe he was age 14?
Yes, Senator. The other account that we talked about was in the 2019-2020 timeframe. So it would have been in the couple years right before the Gab
messaging. Right before that.
See, he knows all about the Gab account. He knows what's in there. That's why they were trying really hard not to discover it and had to be dragged kicking and screaming to do it by the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torbus, so they could keep the lie going.
Gosh, this is why we have no faith in federal government.
I know, and we shouldn't.
This is another prime example of government cover-up of information. And it's like, why do we even monitor social media? We claim that law enforcement in this country monitors social media to try to prevent. We never prevent anything. And then after the fact, they lie and cover up what was actually there. So they knew what was going, knew or at least had knowledge after the fact of what was actually there, but have been covering it up and refusing to talk about it.
You know, that's a really great point, because again, the FBI admitted 3 months ago they had resumed censoring misinformation. These people are the biggest slingers of misinformation out there. And the only censorship we've seen since they resumed censoring, we know they're not doing it on Twitter, is True Things. Only True Things are censored. I mean, even Facebook admitted, oh, hey, yeah, we censored that picture of Trump with his fist in the air. By the way, Instagram did too. So they sent you a threat that you would get a strike, or that your account would be frozen, or that your post would be limited if you ran the Trump assassination picture because it was fake and it wasn't fake. So we're seeing only True Things censored once again. That is sort of the mark of the FBI, if you will. And now they go and provide the lies for the media to cover. This page I've got up right now, if you just put in Deputy Director FBI, so, by the way, that can somehow autofill on the Google.
I tell you, props to Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's been on fire lately. And
she has.
And on, in the right way. Going after, speaking truth to power here, so to speak.
You look at all these headlines, again, and the FBI knew what would happen. They would ignore the second part about how he's a left winger, you know, in his most recent account. And they go all the way, but the FBI goes all the way back to an account he had when he was 14.
So
and
we're
paints
looking,
him as a right winger. They're liars.
You're looking at the account when he was barely a teenager,
right?
Which was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You admit to the fact that he took a at least the postings took a lean to the left a year or two after that, and now the latest thing is you're blaming the Wi-Fi coverage at the event for not being able to have the notification that there was drone activity going on at the site prior to the president's address there, the former president's address.
Look, I guarantee you that was a small area that these local law enforcement who are so desperate to stop the shooter that they walked away from their post and went after him, because we saw that in the video yesterday, with no help from the Secret Service whatsoever. I guarantee that after three separate agencies sent pictures and begged the Secret Service to do something, I guarantee they walked up to the Secret Service. I bet you the Secret Service knows the old-fashioned way. They told them.
Well, there was some comments yesterday where one of the local law enforcement said they verbally told Secret Service about this.
Really? I missed that.
There was somebody made that comment, and I
bet
apologize.
They did.
I can't remember exactly. I think it was one of the Fox News reports that we had.
Okay.
That there was local law enforcement that said that they had spoken to, and so of course that can't be verified because there's no documentation. But they said that they verbally told the Secret Service about the situation. But you know, it just. And also the comments we heard yesterday where the command center got the information about the shooter, but they couldn't verify, or the Secret Service was saying that they weren't told about it, but it did make it to the command center. My question is, who's in command of the command center? Is this local authorities, or is this a joint operation, or was this Secret Service? Who was there in charge, and who was making the decision about what information, what intel was passed along at the command center? That's what they need to be taking a look at, because obviously, there was local law enforcement intel on the shooter that went to the command center. So why was that information not forwarded to the Secret Service, or was it forwarded to the Secret Service?
And if you
who was in charge of it?
To protect that information, what do? You protect the name of that individual as if it's a state secret. Wait till you hear this. Next, you set me up perfectly, Lee.
Just trying to help.
You're using that California Psychic Network again?
No. I'm
me either. Me either. You know, but I think some folks in the Secret Service shirt.
It's just called Carolina Common Sense.
Yeah, really. All right. Well, I'll have more on that coming up next. Jesse Waters' incredible revelation last night about who is and isn't running things on the ground for the Secret Service. It's one of the best kept secrets in Washington. Who ran the Trump rally for the Secret Service or the Department of Homeland in on security? What was the person's name? There's no open criminal investigation, as the former assistant director of the FBI, Chris Swecker, explained. There should be no reason to keep any of this quiet, keep it secret. And yet, whistleblowers have had to come out as whistleblowers to tell us what happened. What are they afraid of? Why do they need to be whistleblowers? Remarkable line in the UK Daily Mail, it's been 2 days ago now, about how whistleblowers had forced the FBI to retract their timeline, which they had lied about before Congress just the week before. And I say lie because, look, if whistleblowers and a senator, Senator Grassley, can figure out what the actual timeline is, the FBI, which is running the investigation, sure can too. So I tweeted this out yesterday, the line in the UK Daily Mail, incredibly laying out that the whistleblowers and Senator Grassley had forced the FBI to change its timeline that it had laid out under oath before Congress. Here's the paragraph from the UK Daily Mail. Now it appears a group chat of those meant to protect Trump were where the gunman Thomas Matthew Crooks was in their midst over 90 minutes before Trump was shot at, rather than an hour as the FBI had previously claimed. Under oath, by the way. Well, it just got weirder. And I've been pointing this out for a while. Why can't we know the names of the Secret Service running this thing, or whoever they were, Department of Homeland Security? Why not? Jesse Waters asking the same thing last night. Why is this a major state secret?
And why don't we know the name of the Secret Service site supervisor in Butler? The man who made all these wrong calls all at once, all on the same day?
Who was the lead site agent who made the decision to leave the AGR building completely outside of the security perimeter? Who was that?
Senator, I cannot give you that name. This person is operational. They're still doing investigations. They're still doing protective visits.
Have they been relieved of duty?
Senator, they have not been relieved
name,
of duty.
I know their name, by the way. Why have they not been relieved of duty?
They are still cooperating, not only being interviewed by the FBI, but also by our Office of Professional Responsibility.
Why hasn't the Secret Service site supervisor for the Butler rally been suspended? Why is he still in charge of protecting politicians? Why isn't he under investigation? They're keeping him around to help do the investigation? Are they going to keep him around for Trump's next Butler rally? And the senators know the guy's name. Why hasn't the Senate subpoenaed the Secret Service site supervisor for Butler? That's the guy who they should drag in to testify under oath about what happened, not these squirrely bureaucrats. Why is everybody protecting this guy? Who is this guy? The politicians won't even tell us what the guy's name is. Something stinks, and you know what I'm talking about.
Why is this a secret? Why is it a secret? Here's former assistant FBI director Chris Swecker, and he's talking about Kimberly Cheadle doing the same thing. No, I'm not going to tell you the names of the federal officials that worked the event that day. No, I'm not going to tell them to you on the record or off the record. Chris Schwecker, former assistant director of the FBI, is baffled by that. And he laid it out when he laid it out on Fox News the other day.
She shouldn't need an FBI investigation to tell her about her own security scheme. Yeah, and I think she's being thrown to the wolves by Homeland Security because they provided her no basis to withhold the information. I'd like to hear about a statute or something.
And why don't they need to wait? Why do they need to, you know, why, under what guise are they protecting these people?
I mean, the shooter's dead. And I've heard nothing about a conspiracy other than, you know, out there on the fringes. This was a 20-year-old that acted alone, young kid. So there's no reason to protect this information or protect a prosecution. I'm looking for authority, something that says, hey, we have to withhold this information from you. And I don't see any, and she certainly didn't cite any. So, and I'm sure there are lawyers at Homeland Security and in the administration that could have given it to her, but they didn't. So I think they're throwing her to the wolves, and they're just letting her, you know, sort of hang out there on her own. She certainly hung herself yesterday.
And then yesterday, the absolutely absurd argument from the acting director of the Secret Service. Well, we can't tell you who because they still have their jobs. How do you still have your job when you screw up that badly? Josh Hawley wondering the same thing. So, I mean, the person who didn't warn Trump about the assassination, didn't tell him, hey, don't go on that stage, still has their job. The person who screwed up, allegedly, the radio communications, still has their job. Although we're finding out this morning from Fox News, they were verbally told. In other words, this wasn't a technological failure. The Secret Service was warned personally that there was a potential assassin in the crowd. They still didn't stop him. The problem is there's no answer to these questions. And so if they give you the name of the person, if that gets out, Congress is going to have to subpoena them. They won't have a choice. And then we're really going to find out what happened here. And for some reason, they don't want us to know. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, texter writes, they're investigating themselves. Yes, they are. Another texter writes, I'm no IT expert, but could the Secret Service use the same satellite system for communication they gave the senators a while back? Yeah, or you know what? The site was very small. Again, Fox News reporting, according to Lee, I'm going to go dive into that in a minute, that they were verbally told, hey, we've seen a potential shooter. You need to know that. They took no action. Texter writes, the Pennsylvania National Guard unit probably could have provided the Secret Service the equipment and soldiers to access the military's network. Another texter writes, FBI and Secret Disservice. Oh, new name for the Secret Service. I like that, Secret Disservice. Texter writes, FBI, CIA, and the Democrats should be very, very dizzy spinning the way that they do. Another texter writes, impeach both FBI and new USSS head. Another texter writes, put the gab owner in front of the house and tell the story of the cover-up. My mind is still boggled that the FBI is running around telling everyone, oh, there's no social media. He has no social media, none whatsoever. And the CEO of Gab's like, yes, he does. Why is no one contacting me? I'm trying to give it to them. Well, the FBI, it turns out, didn't contact him. Why? Well, because it's full of left-wing commentary in support of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, open borders, masking, lockdowns. I mean, this guy's a Democrat. It's why he donated the Democrat Party and not the Republican Party. This is the FBI trying to cover that up. And they had to be forced to send a letter to Gab to get a hold of the account. They didn't want to see it. It's the cautionary tale for the ages. And you're watching it play out right now in Venezuela. Video after video, many of which I've shared on Twitter, of peaceful protesters in the streets of Venezuela. They know that election was stolen. And Maduro's thugs pull up and open fire on them. The people opening fire are called colectivos. And here's how this works. You turn in your guns during a mandatory buyback, which Venezuela had. They took the guns. They said they had to take people's guns to keep them safe from crime. And the government physically forced the removal of guns from Venezuelan homes. Well, barely 2 years passed before they redistributed said guns. Oh, they gave them back so the people would be safe? No, they gave them to the colectivos. Colectivos are armed supporters of the regime. Armed supporters of the regime. Why were they given to them? Oh, so they could shoot their neighbors with the guns that had been collected from them. See, that's the phase two Democrats never tell you about how this works. And as I've been documenting on my podcast and the show, it's real weird because we seem to be in this game of chicken with Venezuela. They do something, we do something. We do something, they do something. Like, for instance, Democrats try to take Trump off the ballot. Venezuela copies that. Democrats arrest every single top campaign staffer of Donald Trump and make them a felon. Venezuela does too. So how does this gun thing work again? Well, if you're a colectivo, they give you a gun. And it's perfect because there's deniability. They don't work for Maduro. They're not part of the government. They don't wear uniforms. They just show up out of nowhere and shoot you if you protest. Maybe even with the gun you turned in to keep you safe. See, that's how phase two of this goes. The armed thugs get the guns. Then when they actually do shoot and kill people, the judge drops the charges, if there are any charges at all. We're beginning to see the Democrats operate that way. Alvin Bragg did it when they smashed their way, the liberal crowd smashed their way into that building in Columbia. They did it last week in D.C. Remember, we all watched the video of those cops being beaten by Democrat thugs until they released those that they had arrested. Yeah, well, the charges for those beatings got dropped. The Democrats are creating colectivos. But there's a final step. You got to get the guns out of the hands of your political opponents. You could redistribute them to the colectivos, just like in Venezuela. And this weekend, the colectivos were sent to the polling places after the Venezuelans mobbed them because they just want to be free and vote for the opposition. So the colectivos were sent. And it's great. It gives Maduro deniability. Oh, that wasn't me. That was just some armed criminals. Yeah, I don't know those guys. And then the charges against them get dropped. And so they have the ability to go and shoot you with a gun you may have turned in. So that's how that works. And Kamala Harris was working, vowing to work very hard on duplicating the Venezuelan gun program here with mandatory gun buyback programs. So this isn't a voluntary, hey, I think I'll sell my gun. No, this is, you got to give it to Kamala. We'll give you some money back, maybe. Here she is. Promising that.
What would you do about the millions of specifically assault weapons right. that are already in circulation? What do you do about those?
Well, there are approximately 5 million, to your point, Craig. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way.
It's got to be smart. Got to be smart. So what does she mean? Like, got to keep track of the guns so we can redistribute them later to our supporters, like in Venezuela? I don't know. She was asked about it again, about the mandatory gun buyback program. Well, you know, what if Congress doesn't go for that, though? She said, oh, I'll just do it executively.
Adding to your gun control agenda?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But, I mean, listen, I don't think we lack for great ideas. As I've said many times, we've been having great ideas for decades. The problem is that Congress has not had the courage to act. And that is why, from the beginning, I have said my agenda includes attempting to get Congress to act, but if they don't within the first 100 days of my administration, I'm going to take executive action. Because what we need is action.
Yeah, I'll just do it with executive action. Forget the Second Amendment. Doesn't matter. Hey, but you know what? I'm going to remake the Supreme Court so they'll rubber stamp it. By the way, thehill.com, this is uncanny. Again, whatever Venezuela tries, the Democrats try. Whatever the Democrats try, Venezuela tries. Did you know that Joe Biden's plan that he just proposed to remake the Supreme Court is almost identical to the one they did in Venezuela? How'd it work out in Venezuela? Not so good. Well, for the people. Yeah, for the president of Venezuela, really well. It became pretty much his court to do with what he wanted. And all he had to do was expand the court. He expanded it with communist Marxists and liberal judges. And now it pretty much answers to him. And it's a rubber stamp for whatever he wants to do. That's right. The Democrats' court expansion plan is almost identical, thehill.com pointed out, to the one in Venezuela that has allowed all this armed thuggery on the streets. Unbelievable. So you can see where they're heading here, which is why the New York Times had to go on clean up on aisle three on Kamala. Just letting you know, hey, every one of those policies that she's been promoting, she changes her mind. Like on all of them, hey, yeah, she doesn't want to completely ban fracking. Oh, good. That's where we get 80% of our energy. Yeah, she's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. Oh, was she going to mandatory make me turn my guns in? Nah, Kamala loves guns now. Well, what about the border? I mean, didn't I hear Kamala Harris say being an illegal immigrant is not a crime?
Being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
I know what a crime looks like. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
I thought she was against building the border wall because terrorists would never come here except the more than 600 we've caught at the border that are on the international terror watch list. But I mean, besides them, this is her. In 2019.
This is irresponsible. It's the height of irresponsibility for the commander in chief to suggest that we have to build a wall across our southern border because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
Okay, so what does she want to do? Make sure we don't enforce federal law. Support sanctuary cities.
What is your position on San Francisco as a sanctuary city?
I support our sanctuary law. And I also recognize that we got to a place that became highly publicized where we strayed from it. And so we needed to get back on track.
Yeah, we need to get back on track with the lawlessness. Incredibly, she now says she's the tough on illegal immigration border candidate.
On the border, the choice is simple. Kamala Harris supports increasing the number of Border Patrol agents. Donald Trump blocked a bill to increase the number of Border Patrol agents. Kamala Harris supports investing in new technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Donald Trump blocked funding for technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Kamala Harris supports spending more money to stop human traffickers. Donald Trump blocked money to stop human traffickers. Kamala Harris prosecuted transnational gang members and got them sentenced to prison. Trump is trying to avoid being sentenced to prison.
All of that is a total lie, but they're actually going for it. She's now changed all of her position. She is literally a different person than she was 24 hours ago.
And this comes as the Harris campaign tries to rewrite her progressive history, including a reversal on fracking.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning frack. There's no question that we've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered.
You support the Medicare for All bill, I think, initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons?
Great question. I do believe that we need to do buybacks.
Well, the New York Times now reporting, in addition to changing her position on fracking, campaign officials said she now backed the Biden administration's budget request to increase funding for border enforcement. Really? She no longer supports a single-payer health insurance program and echoed Mr. Biden's call for banning assault weapons. Increase funding. Well, the New York Times now reporting.
Unbelievable. But you know what? Hope she didn't get away with it. Hope they can figure out in the swing states how radical this woman is. We got to paint her as that. This is a dangerous woman. By the way, coming up, she once compared ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to the KKK and wanted it abolished. But now she says she's tougher on the border than Trump. Oh my gosh. You know what's funny about that? I thought Trump was a xenophobic racist for wanting to be tough on the border. Does that mean that Kamala is now a xenophobic racist? Incredible record shattered by Simone Biles, now undisputably the greatest of all time gymnast, American gymnast, not even close. And the amazing part is that was just through the team event. She hasn't even done the individual yet. Now holds the record for the most medals of any American gymnast in the history of the Olympic Games. Biles, along with her teammates, Suni Lee, Jordan Chiles, Jade Carey, and Hesley Rivera took the gold in the women's gymnastics team final event. In the process, Biles earned her eighth medal, becoming the most decorated American Olympic gymnast ever. She'd previously tied for the record with Magnificent Seven star Shannon Miller. So this is her eighth. It's the cautionary tale for the ages, and you're watching it play out right now in Venezuela. Video after video, many of which I've shared on Twitter, of peaceful protesters in the streets of Venezuela. They know that election was stolen, and Maduro's thugs pull up and open fire on them. The people opening fire are called colectivos. And here's how this works. You turn in your guns during a mandatory buyback, which Venezuela had. They took the guns. They said they had to take people's guns to keep them safe from crime. And the government physically forced the removal of guns from the home, from Venezuelan homes. Well, barely 2 years passed before they redistributed said guns. Oh, they gave them back so the people would be safe? No, they gave them to the colectivos. Colectivos are armed supporters of the regime. Armed supporters of the regime. Why were they given to them? Oh, so they could shoot their neighbors with the guns that had been collected from them. See, that's the phase two Democrats never tell you about how this works. And as I've been documenting on my podcast and this show, it's real weird because we seem to be in this game of chicken with Venezuela. They do something, we do something. We do something, they do something. Like, for instance, Democrats try to take Trump off the ballot. Venezuela copies that. Democrats arrest every single top campaign staffer of Donald Trump and make them a felon. Venezuela does too. So how does this gun thing work again? Well, if you're a colectivo, they give you a gun. And it's perfect because there's deniability. They don't work for Maduro. They're not part of the government. They don't wear uniforms. They just show up out of nowhere and shoot you if you protest. Maybe even with the gun you turned in to keep you safe. See, that's how phase two of this goes. The armed thugs get the guns. Then when they actually do shoot and kill people, the judge drops the charges, if there are any charges at all. We're beginning to see the Democrats operate that way. Alvin Bragg did it when they smashed their way. The liberal crowd smashed their way into that building in Columbia. They did it last week in D.C. Remember, we all watched the video of those cops being beaten by Democrat thugs until they released those that they had arrested. Yeah, well, the charges for those beatings got dropped. The Democrats are creating colectivos. But there's a final step. You got to get the guns out of the hands of your political opponents. You could redistribute them to the colectivos, just like in Venezuela. And this weekend, the colectivos were sent to the polling places after the Venezuelans mobbed them because they just want to be free and vote for the opposition. So the colectivos were sent. And it's great. It gives Maduro deniability. Oh, that wasn't me. That was just some armed criminals. Yeah, I don't know those guys. And then the charges against them get dropped. And so they have the ability to go and shoot you with a gun you may have turned in. So that's how that works. And Kamala Harris was working, vowing to work very hard on duplicating the Venezuelan gun program here with mandatory gun buyback programs. So this isn't a voluntary, hey, I think I'll sell my gun. No, this is, you got to give it to Kamala. We'll give you some money back, maybe. Here she is. Promising that.
What would you do about the millions of specifically assault weapons right. that are already in circulation? What do you do about those?
Well, there are approximately 5 million, to your point, Craig. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program. It's got to be smart. We got to do it the right way.
It's got to be smart. Got to be smart. So what does she mean? Like, got to keep track of the guns so we can redistribute them later to our supporters, like in Venezuela? I don't know. She was asked about it again, about the mandatory gun buyback program. Well, you know, what if Congress doesn't go for that, though? She said, oh, I'll just do it executively.
Adding to your gun control agenda?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But I mean, listen, I don't think we lack for great ideas. As I've said many times, we've been having great ideas for decades. The problem
problem is that Congress has not had the courage to act. And that is why, from the beginning, I have said my agenda includes attempting to get Congress to act, but if they don't within the first 100 days of my administration, I'm going to take executive action. Because what we need is action.
Yeah, I'll just do it with executive action. Forget the Second Amendment. Doesn't matter. Hey, but you know what? I'm going to remake the Supreme Court so they'll rubber stamp it. By the way, thehill.com, this is uncanny. Again, whatever Venezuela tries, the Democrats try. Whatever the Democrats try, Venezuela tries. Did you know that Joe Biden's plan that he just proposed to remake the Supreme Court is almost identical to the one they did in Venezuela? How'd it work out in Venezuela? Not so good. Well, for the people. Yeah, for the president of Venezuela, really well. It became pretty much his court to do with what he wanted. And all he had to do was expand the court. He expanded it with communist Marxists and liberal judges. And now it pretty much answers to him. And it's a rubber stamp for whatever he wants to do. That's right. The Democrats' court expansion plan is almost identical, thehill.com pointed out, to the one in Venezuela that has allowed all this armed thuggery on the streets. Unbelievable. So you can see where they're heading here, which is why the New York Times had to go on clean up on aisle three on Kamala. Just letting you know, hey, every one of those policies that she's been promoting, she changes her mind. Like on all of them, yeah, she doesn't want to completely ban fracking. Oh, good. That's where we get 80% of our energy. Yeah, she's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. Oh, was she going to mandatory make me turn my guns in? Nah, Kamala loves guns now. Well, what about the border? I mean, didn't I hear Kamala Harris say being an illegal immigrant is not a crime?
Being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
I know what a crime looks like.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
Okay, because see, I thought she was against building the border wall because terrorists would never come here except the more than 600 we've caught at the border that are on the international terror watch list. But I mean, besides them, this is her... In 2019.
This is irresponsible. It's the height of irresponsibility for the commander in chief to suggest that we have to build a wall across our southern border because there are terrorists who are trying to invade the country. It couldn't be farther from the truth.
Okay, so what does she want to do? Make sure we don't enforce federal law. Support sanctuary cities.
What is your position on San Francisco as a sanctuary city?
I support our sanctuary law. And I also recognize that we got to a place that became highly publicized where we strayed from it. And so we needed to get back on track.
Yeah, we need to get back on track with the lawlessness. Incredibly, she now says she's the tough on illegal immigration border candidate.
On the border, the choice is simple. Kamala Harris supports increasing the number of Border Patrol agents. Donald Trump blocked a bill to increase the number of Border Patrol agents. Kamala Harris supports investing in new technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Donald Trump blocked funding for technology to block fentanyl from entering the country. Kamala Harris supports spending more money to stop human traffickers. Donald Trump blocked money to stop human traffickers. Kamala Harris prosecuted transnational gang members and got them sentenced to prison. Trump is trying to avoid being sentenced to prison.
Okay, all of that is a total lie, but they're actually going for it. She's now changed all of her position. She is literally a different person than she was 24 hours ago.
And this comes as the Harris campaign tries to rewrite her progressive history, including a reversal on fracking.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning frack. There's no question that we've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered.
You support the Medicare for All bill, I think initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Do you believe in the mandatory buyback of quote-unquote assault weapons?
Great question. I do believe that we need to do buybacks.
Well, the New York Times now reporting, in addition to changing her position on fracking, campaign officials said she now backed the Biden administration's budget request to increase funding for border enforcement. Really? She no longer supports a single-payer health insurance program and echoed Mr. Biden's call for banning assault weapons. Increased funding. Well, the New York Times now.
Unbelievable. But she, you know what? Hope she didn't get away with it. Hope they can figure out in the swing states how radical this woman is. We got to paint her as that. This is a dangerous woman. By the way, coming up, she once compared ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to the KKK and wanted it abolished. But now she says she's tougher on the border than Trump. Oh my gosh. You know what's funny about that? I thought Trump was a xenophobic racist for wanting to be tough on the border. Does that mean that Kamala is now a xenophobic racist? Incredible record shattered by Simone Biles, now undisputably the greatest of all time. Gymnast, American gymnast, not even close. And the amazing part is that was just through the team event. She hasn't even done the individual yet. Now holds the record for the most medals of any American gymnast in the history of the Olympic Games. Biles, along with her teammates, Suni Lee, Jordan Chiles, Jade Carey, and Hesley Rivera, took the gold in the women's gymnastics team final event. In the process, Biles earned her eighth medal, becoming the most decorated American Olympic gymnast ever. She'd previously tied for the record with Magnificent Seven star Shannon Miller. So this is her eighth gold, and again, she hasn't even done the individual events yet. Unbelievable. And unbelievable, given what she's gone through mentally. I mean, this would be a very tough thing mentally to do if you're completely mentally healthy. But Simone Biles is so much more than that. She is a victim of the FBI. Terrible victim of the FBI and the horror they foisted upon her and her teammates. The humiliation of it on the world stage. A area FBI office director wanted a job with the Olympic Committee. Problem was, he'd gotten very detailed reports about the team doctor, Larry Nassar, sexually abusing underage girls. What to do? He wanted the job. So he just buried the evidence, destroyed some of it, and then falsified other evidence to cover it up in order to allow Nassar to continue to practice and Simone Biles to continue to be sexually abused as a minor. Well, it came out, and what did the FBI do? They covered it up. Now, good news is, in a settlement against the FBI, Simone Biles won millions of dollars. So she's been able to overcome, like so many, what the FBI has done to them to triumph. So good for her. Incredible record shattered by Simone Biles, now undisputably the greatest of all time. Gymnast, American gymnast, not even close. And the amazing part is that was just through the team event. She hasn't even done the individual yet. Now holds the record for the most medals of any American gymnast in the history of the Olympic Games. Biles, along with her teammates, Suni Lee, Jordan Chiles, Jade Carey, and Hesley Rivera, took the gold in the women's gymnastics team final event. In the process, Biles earned her eighth medal, becoming the most decorated American Olympic gymnast ever. She'd previously tied for the record with Magnificent Seven star Shannon Miller. So this is her eighth gold. And again, she hasn't even done the individual events yet. Unbelievable. And unbelievable, given what she's gone through mentally. I mean, this would be a very tough thing mentally to do if you're completely mentally healthy. But Simone Biles is so much more than that. She is a victim of the FBI. Terrible victim of the FBI. And the horror they foisted upon her and her teammates. The humiliation of it on the world stage. A area FBI office director wanted a job with the Olympic Committee. Problem was, he'd gotten very detailed reports about the team doctor, Larry Nassar, sexually abusing underage girls. What to do? He wanted the job. So he just buried the evidence, destroyed some of it, and then falsified other evidence to cover it up in order to allow Nassar to continue to practice and Simone Biles to continue to be sexually abused as a minor. Well, it came out, and what did the FBI do? They covered it up. Now, good news is, in a settlement against the FBI, Simone Biles won millions of dollars. So she's been able to overcome, like so many, what the FBI has done to them to triumph. So good for her.